This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis. I welcome George Friedman, the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, writing most recently of the visit by two senior members of the cabinet, the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State, to Kyiv in wartime to visit with Mr. Zelensky and discuss, we're told, weapons. But there appears to be a change of weather come over Ukraine and Russia. George, a very good evening to you. The headline from The Economist magazine, London. In these last hours, America is now thinking of winning the war. Winning is in quotes. In Ukraine, they call this trip to, on Orthodox Easter, furtive. Is America thinking of winning the war? Is that what these weapons represent? Good evening to you, George.
Good evening. Well, the Russians are losing it, or at least not winning it, okay? Which has opened a window for the United States, which is, first, Ukrainians have demonstrated that they are able to be an effective fighting force. Second, the Russians have demonstrated that making war is difficult. The thing that's missing from the mix is advanced and very powerful weapons. And the United States this weekend basically announced a massive shipment of such weapons, from anti-air systems to howitzers to everything else, into Ukraine. And that will take a while to get there. But the United States is now looking at this as, look, the Ukrainians held. We didn't think they would. The Russians have not succeeded. If we give them the weapons, they can, if not be defeated, which we're not sure we want to do, but certainly push back into a negotiation that we value.
The explanation from the battlefront is that the Russians have repositioned their troops to secure the Donbass and a land corridor to the Crimea. That's the general explanation, but fog of war deprives all of it. There's also talk about Transnistria and Moldova and a possible provocation in that breakaway part of Moldova. There's also talk that Vladimir Putin has taken the sinking of the Moskva very hard and that Russia needs a victory by May 9th. Is all that by the boards, George, now that the U.S. has thrown in its big cabinet members and its promise of weapons to come?
The weapons are coming. They aren't there. Therefore, there's a window of opportunity. But remember, they're fighting for the Donbass. The Donbass was always a pro-Russian region where the Russians had special forces there. They're struggling to subdue a very weak force and not doing it extremely well. There's all sorts of intentions they have. Now they claim this is all they ever wanted. But they had a massive armored force to the north driving on Kiev that didn't make it. So the Russians, what the Russians are announcing, pay little attention to, as in wartime you should. They keep changing their intentions. They keep acting as if having done poorly in this region, now they'll extend the war. This is simply war propaganda. There's only one question. Can the Russians mount a major offensive before the American weapons arrive?
George, there's an irregular report out of Moscow, and at first I thought this is not part of the war fighting. But then a young man named Trevor Reed, who is in jail for many years in Russia for attacking a policeman, we're told is being exchanged for a smuggler, a Russian smuggler. I believe his name is Voroshenko or something close to it. This is odd because it reminds me of those exchanges at the bridge in Berlin. You know, those would always be events attached to larger scale treaty talking or negotiation between in the first Cold War. Is this exchange significant to your reading, this apparently two criminals being sent home?
It's clearly a gesture that they want some sort of accommodation with each other. Nobody's trying to crush the other perfectly. But something important also happened today, yesterday. A senior State Department team was in Azerbaijan, and so was a deputy prime minister from Russia, both of whom happened to show up in Baku, the capital, on an unclear mission. Now, to at the same time to have senior figures of this sort gathering together in the same city gives an opportunity for a relatively invisible conversation. So I think at this point, the United States, having made clear, one, it doesn't think Russia will win, two, it's prepared to send major weapons, both sides are in a position that they want to talk. Defeating Russia and Ukraine doesn't defeat Russia, and Russia's a dangerous player. U.S. doesn't want to be too aggressive. The Russians want to have some sort of retreat with honor. Fine. They still lose. But the point that I'm making is talks are going on, and that exchange that you talked about had to do with that.
The decision by Sweden and Finland to enter into debate about joining NATO. At first, I believe the Kremlin made threats. The conversation is going forward. It does look like, although Finland may not be out first, Sweden will apply to NATO. Is that significant to the Kremlin? Is this part of the negotiation, how large NATO becomes on their northern border?
Well, it plays two ways. One, it shows that NATO is vibrant. Second, it exposes a very large area that NATO has no defensive force to protect. So joining NATO means that NATO is committed to your defense. And it also gives an area for the Russians to play with. But I would say that on the whole, the message is that in no way, and this I think really shocked the Russians. First, that the Ukrainians can fight. Second, that the Europeans are not breaking apart into different things. And third, that the United States isn't afraid of them.
The Russian military, what have we learned so far that we didn't know before? I understand non-commissioned officers are not emphasized. We have a long list of general officers who've lost their lives. There's a list of something like 1,700 officers, KIA, in the region. We're looking at an army that is peculiar. It fights from long distance. It fights without air-land coordination. Was all this known before, George, or is this a surprise to our Pentagon?
Going back to the Cold War, the Russians waged armored warfare. And they began this war with armor in the north, the south, the east, three groups converging. What is odd about the Russians is that they didn't realize that they were converging on thin air. In other words, that the strategy the Ukrainians had was essentially a guerrilla warfare strategy of infantry moving around, hitting them, evading them, and so on. They weren't ready for that. They thought this was going to be a war against NATO, and the Americans would fight in a certain way, and they didn't adjust their strategy to the fact that this was not NATO fighting, but a group of patriots hacking it out in the woods.
I come back to May 9th, Victory Parade Day, the Great Patriotic War, the celebration in Red Square, the appearance of Vladimir Putin and his Siloviki. All of that has been presented to me as a moment for Putin to show a result, a positive result for the sacrifice. Is that still in place, George, or is that a moment for Putin to call a ceasefire, an armistice, some peace gesture?
Well, he'd love to show a great success. Now, the problem with that is you've got to show one. And so far, his trust in his military has declined massively because they've not been able to bring anything to a close. They're still fighting in the Donbas. They're still fighting in the south. At no point have they closed off the battle. So I don't think he's hoping for a great success. I think he's afraid he's going to be a great defeat somewhere.
And do you see him out there on Red Square saluting what armor he has left as it parades behind him, in front of him? Is that the image we're going to get in a few days' time?
Well, if we don't get that image, then some sort of political struggle is taking place inside the Kremlin. We don't know how those struggles take place anymore. There used to be a Politburo and a Central Committee, and that's where it was slugged out. Now it's much more informal. But you can't believe that there is not serious questioning in the highest levels of the Russian government about his capabilities.
George Friedman is the founder and chairman of Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site. I'm John Batchelor.